It's a pleasure to be here with you. Some of you guys are, it humbles me, the distances that you've driven to come here and to hear us talk about the Heralds and what we do. And I'm just happy to be in your presence here today. I'm like Kevin, like he spoke last night. Kevin Kelly mentioned that he was a Marine and so was I. He mentioned that he handed out tracts with fear, and I would say that I handed them out petrified. I handed out gospel tracts, and you know, it was just so much to go out there and to do things like that, to go out and to give someone the word of God. There was such a fear in that was almost paralyzing, and I can understand what people go through when they're out there. And they're saying, how can I do this? How can I go out there and do this? God commands us to. He commands us to be witnesses. And I know there is a fear in that. For me, I went out there. I didn't have anyone mentoring me. I didn't have anyone guiding me along what I should do and how I should do it. But I knew that God had called me to do that. And it took a while. I wasn't, you know, it's when I got saved, it wasn't like, all right, let's run out to the battlefield and go and share our faith. No, I didn't know about that. I kind of said, I'm a Christian now. I want to do ministry in my church. I wasn't aware really that I was to go out into the world and proclaim that gospel to people. And it wasn't until about 7 years ago that God really opened my eyes to evangelism. Because I saw my sister doing things. I saw her going to missions trips and share, you know, going out and sharing the gospel with people. She was on like our 14th trip to Russia. And I was thinking, she's storing up riches in heaven. She is storing up crowns that she's going to be able to cast at the feet of Jesus. And I said, what am I doing? What am I doing with the precious time that God has given me? I think I'm just squandering it. If I'm really honest with myself, what am I doing? I go to church every other week. I do a Bible study once in a while. What am I truly doing with the precious time that God has given me? So I had to look at myself, and I cried out to God. I said, God, I want you to use me in the greatest capacity that would glorify you, that would bring honor and glory to you. Be careful what you pray for, because you just may have to sell it all and go out. And we were talking about that. Not everyone's called to do that, but that's what God has laid on my heart and my life, to go out there and to do that. And I was just talking with the pastor before. I have peace in that perfect peace that surpasses understanding, that he's given me that peace to go out there and to preach his word. So just like everyone else, I was nervous about handing out gospel tracts. The fear of man is really what it comes down to. I'm afraid how people are going to look at me and how they're going to receive it. And there was fear in that. But I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. So then I started doing that. I started going out to a train station. Every night I would go out for an hour or 2 hours, and I would hand out gospel tracts. Great place if you really want to get started. You got people coming off the train, you hand them tracts. They put them in their pocket, they take them home. You got people going on the train, you hand it to them. What are they going to do on the train? They're going to read it. Then you get the people at the train station, and they're actually sit down and read it in front of you. And then you can just walk up to them and say, hey, what do you think about that? Just a great thing. But God was still working on me. That wasn't enough. I really felt that I had to verbalize the gospel to people. And that was even a bigger fear. Now I have to step out of my comfort zone. I have to go out and actually engage people and speak to them about what I believe and what the truth is. And there's a great fear in that. We look at it and we say, I could mess up. I didn't have anyone backing me. I didn't have anyone who was there to guide me along. So I just would do the way of the master things. I mean, we've been talking about that too. We have a lot to thank. We thank Living Waters. I mean, they've really opened the door for us to be able to share our faith. And we've all basically have some connection with that ministry that really opened the door. So I would literally watch videos for hours and just watch another one. So when I got out there, I'm thinking, what did he say when he did this? And it wasn't, you know, I know we're not puppets, just like, you know, like that Ray Comfort would do, but I was just using it because I had nothing. So I would go out, and God started growing me with my personality. I mean, we each have our individual personalities out there. We're not the same. I mean, when we preach out there, guys have different ways of preaching. I mean, some guys are more even keel. Some of us are a little more up there. And so it's just different personalities that God has used out there for us. So he was moving on me to get out and verbalize my faith. And I did. And I started stepping out, and God started growing me in that aspect. But then I felt God calling me saying, there's more. I want you to preach to people. Wasn't an audible voice or anything like that, but there was I didn't have peace in doing what I did. Although I was doing what God has commanded me to do. I mean, I was being faithful in that. And I could say, you know, hey, I'm doing it. But when God calls you, he's gonna call you and take you where you may not be comfortable. And that's what happened with me. So I went out and I really felt God. I started seeing the open air preaching, and I was excited about that. I said, that's it. That's the final thing, I think, that I'll be able to open air and preach to a large group. So I felt like, all right. So I went out one time and I got my Bible, and I sat in this little outdoor amphitheater, and people were doing Tai Chi in front of the amphitheater. So I'm thinking, okay, as soon as they stop and take a break, I'm going to jump up and preach the gospel. So I said, all right, this is good. So I'm reading my Bible, and they stop. I jump up, and I start preaching, and everybody's looking at me. But like 5 minutes into it, the guy comes over and he says, look, I got a permit. You're not supposed to be here, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And I kind of got, all right. Another time, in a train, we were going into the city to a crusade. And I jumped up on a train and I stopped preaching. And the conductor says, hey, listen, you can't do that. We have people here. They want their privacy. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was thinking, well, maybe I'm mistaken this. Maybe God doesn't want me to be able to do this. And I kind of like, everything gets shut down. So I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do what I could, continue to do what I do. And my sister says to me a couple of weeks later, she says, there's a ministry that actually teaches you how to open air preach. Is that something you'd be interested in? I said, yeah, I would love to. So I go to the Ambassador's Academy. And just like Kevin said, the same thing happened to me. I mean, before I went out there, I'm thinking, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, I'll come and I'll preach just like I've been preaching for years, and everyone will look at me as like, I'm, wow, where did he get that? Well, I go into the back of Living Waters where they do a pre-jump up on the box and just do a quick like 1 minute presentation. So I get up there, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll nail this, you know. And I start preaching, and midway through, I go, and I can't speak. So I jumped off the box real quick, and they go, get back on the box. If ever you get tongue-tied and you can't say anything, say John 3:16. So I get back up, and I'm like, and I didn't know John 3:16. I drew a blank. Now we're going out to Hollywood Boulevard, and I'm just like, what am I going to do? I'm like, help me, Lord. Help. I can't do this. So I got the guy next to me praying the whole way. I get off the bus. Just before I get off the bus, I go, pray for me again. And then I go, and I meet Tony Miano, and I didn't really know Tony at the time. And he says, how you doing, brother? I said, can you pray for me? So he lays hands. He prays for me. And I got out there, and God spoke through me when I got up there for the first time to preach the gospel. And it was just, it was a peace. And I had, that was perfect peace that God gave me in that. That now I felt like this is it. This is why I was made, for this purpose. And I just had a peace in that. And then I went home. I was thinking, what am I doing? Now I'm equipped. I'm equipped to go do it. I can talk to people. I can preach the gospel. I can hand out gospel tracts. What am I doing? I said, it's time to move. It's time to get moving. I don't know how long I have. So I looked at my life and I said, you've wasted a lot of years. 40 years in the wilderness. What are you doing with the precious time that you've been given? What are you doing to redeem this precious time that we have? And I said, that's it. I said, Lord, here am I, send me. And I sold everything that I had. I got out of my landscape business that I had for 18 years. I packed up everything. My church blessed me. My church prayed over me. April 20th, 2009 was the day that I left to go on the road full time preaching and traveling. The week before that led up to that, I had to rethink myself. I said, what am I doing? Is this God? Is this what you want me to do? I said, because I don't feel right about this. I feel like this is a big step. It's risky. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, where I'm eating, drinking. I don't know. I had $600 in my pocket when I left for that. And that's all I had. Everything. Debt free. No other money. And I said, Lord, give me peace in this. Let me know that this peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. I want to serve you. I'm willing to forsake it all. I want to just go out and serve you with my whole heart. Please be there. Guide me. You promised that you'll never forsake me. So the morning that I woke up to go on the road, I went to the gym and worked out. And I met a girl who was in my fifth grade class. Now she's a grown woman with a family. And I went and I shared the gospel with her. And as I'm reuniting, you know, I'm telling her, you know, you're a liar. You've blasphemed God's name. And she was kind of getting, and at the end of the conversation, it was just, she said, that was refreshing. I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. And I got in my car that day and I left. And do you know, that day, he gave me perfect peace. And I haven't looked back since then, and I've always had that peace. Yeah, I've had little ups and downs along the way, but I have been blessed with God's perfect peace in being in God's will, doing what God wants me to do, serving him in the way that he has chosen for me to serve him. And he's been so faithful along the way. He's really been gracious in how he's supplied all of my needs abundantly and beyond more than I can ask or think. I haven't been in want of anything. I haven't missed a meal except the ones that I've chose to. I haven't slept in my car. And there's assurance in that, showing that God's hand is on the ministry that we started. It's called cross-country evangelism. And that's what we do. We go across country. We go across America. We go across Canada. We go to foreign countries. We've been to Jamaica. We've been to the UK, Mexico. I started 5 years ago, just over 5 years. It'll be 5 years, 4 months. And then my brother Robert Gray came on board with us. He was right behind me with the same thing. God laid it on his heart to go out and preach the gospel, travel. And it's been a blessing working with Robert, and most of the year we're together. And we've been going, and we've been going to all these different places. And I was saying that prior to this, I didn't feel like I was living like I am now. I feel like I'm alive. I feel like I have purpose in my life. There's pep in my step. I have, I'm excited about the things of God that I really wasn't before then. And I really feel that God has changed my outlook on what ministry is. It's about serving Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him. And that's why like my ministry fits in well with Jeremiah Cry, because those guys have the same passion for what I have. They preach the gospel in the open air for the glory of God. And that's why when I went on the Jeremiah Cry tour in Scotland in 2010, I met Jeff for the first time. And we just had an instant bond. We love each other, and I love him, and we've had a friendship ever since then. And we both, because our passion is to glorify God. And we are heralds. That's what we do. We herald a message. That message that we herald, we do that message prayerfully. We're men who pray solo on ourselves. We get quiet time, but we also pray corporately. We preach purposefully. We preach for the glory of God, that God would receive glory. We preach that men would be saved. And we preach powerfully. We preach a message that's powerful. I came up with a little sermon on powerful preaching. And as a herald, that's part of what we do. We're out there, we're preaching a message powerfully to people, not in our own power. And it's called the ABCs of powerful preaching. That's just the way it came up. I don't want to make trivial of it or make it like elementary. But as I was putting it together, it came up, the ABCs. Authoritative, bold, and Christ-centered. ABC. Authoritative preaching is spirit-led. Look at this. You just listen. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Powerful preaching, it has authority. It turns cities upside down. It stirs the souls of men, whether they're glad or mad. It turns things upside down. We were just in Regina. That city got turned upside down. I mean, they didn't know what hit them. It was all over the news. It was on front page. I'm thinking, but that's the power of God in preaching God's word. See, we would have never thought that that's the way things go, but God did. God's word went out, and it pierced people. It stirred them up. You know, all through, you know, you see in the scriptures how the preaching stirs people up. Look at Christ. In Mark 1, verse 27, it says they were all amazed. He commanded the unclean spirits to come out with authority. In Matthew 7, 29, it says, "For he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes." The scribes were peddling a message, but Christ was preaching God's word. He didn't speak like the scribes. He spoke with authority because he had authority. And all authority was given to Christ. in Luke, he says this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we know when he closed the book, he said, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled." And he says, "I know you're going to say, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" And what happens? It says, and in, this is what it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up to thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." He went his way. He didn't go their way. He showed his authority by going through them. See, authoritative preaching is not swayed by what people think or how people react. It stands alone if need be. But we're not standing alone. We're standing on God's Word. We're standing on the truth of God's Word. Another part of Scripture, it talks about how Jesus was before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you?" And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "You would have no power over me unless it was given to you from above." God's authority trumps all authority. And we have that authority. We have authority to go preach the Word of God because it's given from God, our authority. We don't preach and apologize or ashamed of our preaching, because it's given from God. If we are preaching Spirit-led by God, we don't have to be ashamed. And we can preach because it's given from God. I want to read this little quote. It says, this will talk about the B in my ABCs of bold preaching. He says, "Rash preaching," says Roland Hill, "disgusts. Timid preaching leaves poor souls fast asleep. But bold preaching is the only preaching that is owned by God." We come out here, we have boldness, but it's not our own. It's holy boldness that's given by God. Bold means brave, fearless, with vigor or confidence. We are to preach with boldness. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The apostles throughout Scripture prayed for boldness, so should we. That's what we should be. We should be praying for God to give us that boldness, whether it to be go share your faith, to declare Christ. Listen to what it said. It says, in Acts, it said, the apostles, they prayed for boldness. It says, "Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word." And it goes further down. It says in Acts 4, 30, verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Boldness means with confidence. When you're Spirit-led, you can't help but be bold. If God's speaking through you, you can't help but to go out and preach God's Word. To be confident. How do you go out there and not be confident in the Word of God? I mean, Cy does a thing. He talks about in one of his talks, he says something like, he says, We sit here and we're together. We say nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we do that with tears down our eyes. And then we go out there and we say, but I could be wrong. No. No. Why? Because we have the truth. We have God's word. We can't be wrong. It's God's word. So we go out there and we proclaim that truth that we know is true. Paul did. Listen, it says in Acts 9, it says, Barnabas tells the disciples how Paul, preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. He preached boldly in the name of Christ. That's what we're to do. We're to go out there and preach Christ boldly to this lost and dying world. Jesus is our example of bold preaching, of being bold. He says in John 7:26, it says, but look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing. You see, bold preaching shuts the mouth. When we're out there preaching, they come at us with their vile and their, but when we preach God's word, it stuns them. It's a lightning bolt. It says this in John also. It says, and then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man has ever spoke like this. Jesus' words struck them to the heart. And when we're out there preaching God's word, our words do the same. They strike people in the heart. I love Jeff's analogy on that. How it pierces and they don't even know they've been hit. And they can go home and they lay there in bed, struck, because the sword of God's Spirit sliced them. It's effective. It's always effective. Don't let anyone tell you different. God's word does not return void. And that's why we're to go out there and be bold. But only by God's Spirit does He make that possible. We can't do it in our own strength. We need God moving on us, led by His Spirit, preaching His word. Christ-centered preaching, that's the C. The most important, obviously, Christ-centered preaching. That's why we come out here, to preach Christ. Listen to what it is the death, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We don't want to forget the resurrection when we're out there preaching. I know sometimes I do, and we have to keep that and remind ourselves. I like with the open air campaigners that there is something is that they put the little gravestone on their painting, and you remember the resurrection that way. So when I'm preaching, I kind of get that visioned in my head, that little gravestone, to remind me to preach the resurrection. And Spurgeon, on preaching, this is what he said. He said, whatever subject I preach, I do not stop until I reach the Savior, the Lord Jesus. For in Him are all things. The gospel is about God and is to be centered around God. The gospel's about God. It's not about us. It's about God and His glory. We're not salesmen peddling a message out there. We're saying, thus saith the Lord. And that's what we do. We herald a message to a lost and dying world saying, this is what God says. We're not out here giving our opinion. We're telling you what God's word says. Paul said this. He said, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And as a preacher, I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Christ. I want my daily conversation to be about Christ. I want my affections to be set on Christ. I want my whole life to be revolved around Christ. Because that's the most important thing, is Jesus Christ. Richard Baxter says, he says, he has many reasons of why we should preach. Because our tongues were created for that purpose. And he said, one of his things, he says, "And there's no greater subject to talk about than the gospel. No greater." Christ-centered preaching. It exalts Christ high where He belongs, and it brings man down low where he belongs. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Not if man is lifted up, but if Christ is lifted up. Let Christ be all, and we be small. How can we not speak? How can we not speak high and lofty things about Christ, our bridegroom? How could we not? "For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him and by Him and through Him are all things." So it's Christ that we have to preach. As a herald, I herald the message of God by the command of God, in the authority of God, in obedience to God, by the Spirit of God, for the glory of God. That's what we do. And if I'm doing it for any other reason, it's the wrong reason. I mean, when we're out here and we're preaching a message and we're getting harassed by police officers by the way that we're preaching out there, we're getting ticketed, we're getting arrested, we're getting people who are punching us, choking us, headbutting us, spitting on us, tearing up Bibles and throwing them in our faces, mocking us, doing all kinds of vile things, saying all kinds of vile things against our Lord and Savior. It's got to be the glory of God that keeps us there, that maintains us to go out again tomorrow and to preach Christ and to preach His Word boldly and authoritative. That's what it takes. It's the glory of God. I like I was saying before, I telling the pastor, I love my life. I love what I do. I have peace that surpasses all understanding. I have, my delight is in the Lord. He's given me the desires of my heart. I don't consider my life worth, like Paul said, and I'm not comparing myself to Paul, I'm just using his phraseology. What a greater gift that we can do is go out into this lost and dying world and tell them about Jesus Christ, the one who's mighty to save, and He saves to the uttermost. Maybe you're sitting here, you don't know Christ. Maybe you're sitting here and say, yeah, that sounds good for you, Mike, but I'm happy with my life. The problem is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and including you. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need to be reconciled to God, because if you continue on the path you're on, thinking you're too good to be damned, you'll stand before God guilty, and God will cast you out into hell. It's a real place. People joke about that. When we're out there, I believe we can have joy out there. We don't have to be so. But there is a certain solemnity with preaching out there that we solemn and sober-minded. But when I'm out there, I love my brothers. But I hear people, not in our group, but the non-believers, talking about hell at the end of a punchline. I say, because you don't know what biblical hell is. It's real. It's God's wrath on a soul forever. And if you're sitting here thinking you're too good, it might be you that ends up there. You might be the one who listened to these services, listened to the messages being taught and preached. And then you're standing before God on judgment day guilty, and He says to you, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. When now He offered mercy, and He offered peace through Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died a criminal's death so that guilty sinners like you and me don't have to. He poured out His life's blood. He went to that cross willingly. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I'll take it up again. And that's what He did. On the third day He rose again. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And that is the victory. The victory in Jesus Christ, that He overcame death. And He rose again, and He's coming back again. And He's not coming back as meek and lowly Jesus, a babe in a manger. He's coming back as King and conqueror and judge. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do it today. Do it today before Christ either comes or you get taken away and you're at your appointed time. It is a message of hope, a message of love, that God in His mercy demonstrated His love at the cross. No one deserves that, but God demonstrated His love. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Think about what you're doing with your life. Think about the precious time that you have. Are you using it to glorify God? Are using it to seek and save the lost? Turn to Jesus today. Even if you're a Christian, turn to Him and say, God, use me. Let me not be wasting the time that You've given me. But let me redeem it so that our heart would be, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. Think about that. May God bless you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise You, Lord, for Your mercy, for Your goodness, for how gracious You are. Lord, fill our lives, Lord, with what is important. Let us stay focused on not the things of this world, but be focused on You and Your kingdom. May Christ be exalted in all that we say and do, Lord. We love You. We want to give You the glory and the honor and the praise. Use our lives, Lord, that we would be good stewards of the time and the resources You've given us, Lord. What a great God You are, providing all of our needs abundantly. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Lord. We ask You to provide, continue to provide for us and guide our steps, Lord, that we may do all things pleasing and honoring to You, Lord. Let us have a blessed day today. Go before us today as we go out and we preach Your word, Lord. Let Christ be exalted. We love You, Lord Jesus. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.